Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not going to get no interview. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Tuesday. Excited about the news about the Michael Jordan documentary that is dropping early, Jeffrey?
How can you not be?
Is it live sports? So ESPN has moved. Is it 10-part documentary. On,
I don't know if that's a documentary or a series.
10-part series, documentary series, on the last championship that Jordan won with the Bulls. A NBA TV film crew followed them around that entire season, and they've done more than 100 interviews for a wide-ranging, exhaustive look.
I can't wait for the press release about how many hours of interviews they conducted.
Yeah, how many hours of what's the date they're dropping?
So I will look it up officially. It was originally supposed to be basically the night the NBA Finals. That was in June. That was when it was scheduled to begin. They have moved it up to April, which the documentary, to best my understanding, wasn't even finished. So they
rushed it into completion.
They went into a rush they put it on rush order, if you will, and now it will begin April 19th.
I had that right. So April 19th it will begin. Long way to April 19th, honestly. Are you more excited about the Jordan documentary series or about the players only whatever it's called, what's it called, they're doing a basketball, what's the basketball, there's a video. What's the video basketball game called?
NBA 2K.
Okay. NBA 2K basketball, players only basketball league. They're going to televise.
Okay, we're just going to leave something else out?
What do you mean? No, that's different. That's a different thing. Yes, of course we're more excited about the draft.
Okay.
I'm talking about fictional programming.
Got it.
Fictional that they're tossing up. And, you know, they're moving the Jordan thing, whatever. Yes, the draft is much more significant than any of this. But if these
The Jordan one.
Yeah, of course. It's not even close. Today on the show, by the way, we are going to have GP is going to join us. Gary Parrish is going to join us coming up next. Chris Harrington at the top of the hour. I saw in the system at the Daily Memphian he has another Grizzlies piece up. Don't know if it is out yet. I won't ask him about it until it's out for your consumption. But anyway, so there's that. And today is the day, Jeffrey. Today we are going to do the next Mount Rushmore. And this Mount Rushmore is going to be the four worst Grizzlies to watch. Okay? The four Grizzlies who most infuriated you. The four most infuriating Grizzlies. I think there will be wide agreement on three. Probably not from Chris, because he'll have his own Chris rationale for it. But I think three would get vast agreement. And then the next is, I think, is subject to debate. But I think three would get wild agreement. If you want to text in your own four, please do. I'm at Jeff, G-E-O-F-F underscore Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. And you are at?
J-Wright929 ESPN.
Anyway, after that, Jessica Benson is going to join us. She is a sports reporter. She is a reporter for ABC 24 CW 30. So that is the lineup today. I want to start today by, if you'll indulge me, reading you the column that I wrote at today's Daily Memphian. It is out. It is up. After I read it, I would suggest you circulate it to all your friends. Because I sort of wrote it, well, the headline is, my friend tested positive for COVID-19, but she went all over Memphis first. And so if you will indulge me, it is an instructive tale. And that's why I told it. My friend would like you to take COVID-19 seriously. She would like you to stop gathering in groups in the neighborhood. She would like you to be careful to wash your hands after going to the grocery store. She would like you, frankly, to just stay home. Why? Because my friend recently tested positive for COVID-19. She walked around Memphis for the better part of a week before she knew she had it. So if you aren't careful, she may have given it to you. The psychological weight has been wearing on me, she said. You can't help but think I could have killed somebody. I'm not going to tell you my friend's name because it's not important. The health department knows. They have interviewed her and done their best to figure out who she might have exposed. But her story is important, especially for those who aren't taking the social distancing limitations seriously. You think this whole thing is overblown? You think you're safe in your neighborhood? Not if you cross paths with my friend or any of the thousands of people just like her walking around Memphis right now. I went to the grocery store, my friend said. I volunteered with my church. I didn't have any of the respiratory symptoms, so I didn't know I had it at the time. She had it. She was tested at Methodist Lebanon Germantown Hospital and received her positive test Monday, March 23rd. I was shocked, she said. I kept thinking about all the people I came in contact with. My friend had returned from a trip to New Orleans to visit her brother the previous Monday, March 16th. That's where she figured she contracted the virus in the first place. He had just come back from a conference, she said. He works with oil and gas industry. There were people from all over the country at the conference and were pretty sure he got it from there. He woke up that Sunday and said, I think I had a fever last night. We kind of dismissed it. He never took his actual temperature. Remember, COVID-19 seemed like a distant threat back then, something they were dealing with in Washington State. My friend returned to Memphis that Monday and set about living her life. Tuesday, March 17th. I actually did a lot, my friend said. I got my car worked on. I had to get my windshield replaced. I took it for a tune-up, and I did some charity work for my church. I went to the grocery store to get groceries for the food drive, you know, to get baskets. I came in contact with a lot of people. Wednesday, March 18th. I went to work. I'm a registered nurse at a surgical practice. I worked the whole day, and I went to dinner. Here she named a restaurant that I will not name. I love that place. Me and my roommate's fiance. Thursday, March 19th. This is when my friend started to feel sick. Headache, fever, chills, and body ache, she said. I woke up and felt awful with horrible back pain and still with a headache that made my eyes hurt to even move. So Thursday and Friday, my friend mostly napped. But Saturday, she felt better, and she never had a cough. That's supposed to be the identifying symptom, right? Remember, my friend is a nurse. She didn't have any respiratory issues. Not then, not since. There were only 10 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Shelby County at the time. My friend walked to a nearby food truck. and even accepted a ride back to her house from two friends. She never suspected she was endangering them. That was a mistake, she said. I feel terrible about that. Finally, that weekend, my friend was able to get the test. I think it helped that I work in healthcare, she said. I had the golden ticket. I was able to get it quicker than most. But it was still 8 days after her brother woke up with a fever. 8 days of living, breathing, and infecting who knows how many people along the way. When the test finally came back positive, everyone scrambled to react. The surgical practice where my friend worked shut down for the better part of a week so everyone could get tested. All tests came back negative. The people who gave my friend a lift are self-isolating. One of my friend's roommates has symptoms and an appointment to be tested. The other was told she couldn't get tested because she isn't symptomatic. She, too, is self-isolating. My roommates have been incredibly kind, she said. They say, you didn't know. And she didn't know. That's really the point. That's why my friend thought it was important for me to tell this story, because there are a lot of people out there right at this moment who do not know, who are going to their office, it's essential, and shopping for groceries and getting their car tuned up and accepting your offer of a lift. That is why the economy is shuttered. That is why the mayor is limiting access to the parks. That is why the best thing you can do for yourself, your family, Memphis, everyone, is to stay at home. It makes me angry when I see how some people are acting, said my friend. I want to tell them, you better take this seriously. By the time you get it, the hospitals are going to be full. This is coming, and it's going to get worse. It's real. I know. So that's the piece. You can find it over at the Daily Memphian if you want to send it to your friends or tweet it or whatever else, just as a people who you know who aren't taking this thing seriously. And I tell it for a couple reasons. First of all, there is some good news. Do you want to know the good news, Jeffrey? There's some very, very, very good news.
Lay it on me.
And the good news is for two straight days, it appears the curve is flattening.
Okay. Is that locally or nationally?
Nationally. Sorry. You are perfect because that's exactly the good news and the bad news. Good news. Total U.S. corona fatalities Monday, 3,008. Increase in the last 24 hours, 541. Increase in the present previous 24 hours, 320. That's 22% yesterday and 15% the day before. That is 2 days in a row when the death rate, when the rate of increases in deaths has slowed. Confirmed cases across the U.S. Increase in the last 24 hours, 16%. Increase in the previous 24 hours, 15%. That is 2 days in a row that the rate of increase in confirmed cases appears to have slowed dramatically. Dramatically. Now, there are still so many people who haven't now that 25% of all the cases have been reported, period, have been reported in the last 24 hours, right? But the rate of increase is slowing. In fact, over the last 2 days, the rate of increase nationally is 15.5%. Whereas last week, for example, the rate of increase Monday through Saturday was 25%. That is the very definition of flattening the curve. Exactly what it looks like. That is the good news. And the point is, it is working. It is working. It is working. It is working. The bad news is, that's nationally. There's no evidence whatsoever, and we don't know, that there is a flattening of the curve in Memphis. We've had a little more tightening yesterday. Jim Strickland limited the access to the parks, shut down roads leading to the big parks. The governor, he closed all non-essential business, but he would not. He's just being a putz about this. He's just whatever. He would not issue a stay-in-place order because he believes in personal liberties. So, and he says, besides, all the other communities have it now. Well, that's fine. That means you're just letting everyone else do your work so you can say you're holier than thou. It's just preposterous. But anyway, so but he did close across the state all non-essential businesses, which is effectively, even though he didn't want to call it that, a shutdown order. So there has been some tightening, but I think we're just starting to see it in Memphis. And It's what Manoj Jain said yesterday, talking about the surge that is coming in Memphis. There is a surge coming in Memphis. Among other things, really sad news, Second Prez, according to the Daily Memphian, you can read the story there, a minister at Second Prez has died from complications of COVID-19. So we now have two massive churches in the area. Hope, where a minister was had the virus. Did you watch on tele? Did you do that? Did you telewatch? Did you watch your service this Sunday, or did you skip it?
We did the live stream or whatever.
I watched a little of the Hope live stream, actually. You guys have a rockin' service, man. Like, it is, there's a whole rock band up there.
The church for the unchurched, baby.
It is. There is a whole rock band up there. It is like, I totally understand why people like it.
How about Rufus and his Tiger Woods?
It is not my kind of, like, basically, if there's a
drum. You like hymns.
If there's a drum set, I'm not interested in church. At
correct.
A church. But that's why everybody has different flavors. You're right? I have different
strokes.
And
I'm the exact opposite. I can't do hymns.
God, I love him so much.
Ugh.
Tomorrow, we're just going to sing hymns here on the Jeff Calkins Show. Anyway, so.
Joy to the world.
God, I love Joy to the World. We gather together. A lot of them are fantastic. Jesus Christ is risen today. All of them. So that's two churches. One, and because you mentioned his name earlier, Eli Morris, who I actually texted on Sunday and said he's doing better every day. And that.
On the up and up.
Prayers to him and for him and everything else. But then a pastor at Second Prez has died. And that's just devastating. And you can't mourn now properly either. Like, if you look in the obits, they're all, because of the pandemic virus, a service will be held at a later date. Because of the pandemic virus, because of the pandemic, the coronavirus, a service will be held at a later date. So that is happening. And then we have the story of my friend. Now, she actually was fine with me using her name. I wasn't going to use her name, and I wasn't going to name the places, the particular places she went, for two reasons. One is, there's already been a lot of, she's an irresponsible, I'd like to drop kick her for spreading the virus all over Memphis, et cetera, right? And secondly, if I mentioned those particular places,
yes,
people wouldn't go there, right? Particularly the restaurant. The restaurant is a small restaurant. And if I mentioned the restaurant or the food truck or whatever, people wouldn't go there, right? And I don't want to destroy someone's business or the particular grocery store she went to. And the truth of it doesn't matter, because it doesn't matter if it's this grocery store or another grocery store. Someone just like her went to that grocery store. And it doesn't matter if this is food truck or that food truck. Someone just like her went to that food truck. And it doesn't matter if it's this restaurant or another restaurant, someone just like her went to that restaurant. Because the whole idea of this virus is, it is in you and replicating before you know it. And so you are spreading it before you know it. Now, I will say, I have gotten a lot of, what a moron, irresponsible, etc. How could you not? How could you possibly do that, you evil human being? There's been some of that, right? You hypocrite, and now you're telling people to stay home. You hypocrite, that's what I've more heard. What, you went all over town, and now you're telling people to stay home? First of all, I commend her for telling the story, because it is getting shared like crazy. And I do think if it keeps 10 people or 100 people or whatever from taking this more seriously, good. I thought she was courageous to tell the story, I'll be honest. And she's okay. Secondly, I'll just say that when she came back, so she went to Louisiana where she got this, her brother, they believe, and her brother Nestor never tested positive, okay? She got this from her brother who works in oil and gas and had been at a conference. People from all over the country came back. He had a slight fever. He was never tested, and that was really it for him, and that was that. She comes back. She gets a fever. Now, at the time when she came back, Grizzlies were still playing basketball games.
Yep.
With full crowds. There were no restaurant closures. There were no social distancing guidelines. There was no stay-in-place order. There was no, like, none of that. So you can argue she was, and also she never had a cough. All we heard was, and the truth of the matter, she wouldn't have been able to get tested if she hadn't been connected with the medical facility, and the doctors at the medical facility made sure that she got tested. She wouldn't have been tested, because what did they say? Only if you have the symptoms. If you have a cough, you call a hotline. What do they say? Do you have a cough? Right? Do you have
Correct.
Respiratory issues? She never had any respiratory issues. Didn't have a cough, et cetera. And here's so she did. She went about her life. And not for the 2 days that she was sick. She didn't go, but really sick. She didn't go about her life. But she fundamentally went about her life and was stunned when she got this test back. And so you got no idea who has it. I could have it. And I really mean that. Like, I could have it. Jeffrey could have it. And this isn't to fault her or me or Jeffrey or anyone. It's to say anyone could have it. And someone where you've been probably has it. And we have, yes, there's a flattening in the curve in New York City, but there is not a flattening of the curve, so far as we can tell, in Memphis. And this is fundamentally, in the end, this is a problem, a Memphis problem that we can solve in Memphis. No, it's a global problem, of course. It is a global problem. But it is a Memphis problem. The Memphis part of this is a Memphis problem that we can solve in Memphis if everybody takes this seriously. And I hate to lecture on that point, but it's why I told this story. Is because I think that I think that people should know. And I think people should take care. All right, we are going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk to Gary Parrish about all manner of things, including these documentaries and the four worst grizzlies to watch in the history. Jeffrey, get yours ready. Get yours ready. We will do that next. Jeff Gawkinger, 92.9 FM ESPN.
There's only one Memphis, and there's only one MFS. That's 92.9 FM ESPN.
Memphis. Nothing but Memphis. Everywhere we go, it's Memphis. Memphis, Tennessee. The beautiful land in the world.
Broadcasting live on the radio.com app. It's free. Download it now and check out Rewind. Get your grizz on 92.9 FM ESPN through radio.com. 92.9 is helping Memphis stay connected. For more, go to radio.com/stayconnected.
I'm looking right now at the takeout menu at Bounty on Broad. There's the fried Gulf oysters I love so much, one of my favorite dishes in the entire city. There's the jumbo pan-seared scallops, just impossibly good. There's the pan-roasted quail. There's the braised pork shank. There's the Moroccan spiced lamb ribs. There's, oh my heavens, thank goodness for this. There's the crisp Brussels that everyone loves. That's just a few of the items on the takeout menu. Check it out for yourself at bountyonbroad.com. And don't forget the key lime pie for dessert, which is simply the best key lime pie I've ever had. Listen, this is a really hard time for everyone, including your favorite restaurants. Bounty on Broad has been a fixture in this city from the moment it opened, serving delicious meals and supporting Memphians who need support. And the good news is, in this time of crisis, Bounty is still there, serving delicious meals for a curbside pickup or delivery. So check out the online menu at Bounty on Broad. Wash your hands, be kind to one another, and we'll hope to see you back in the restaurant before too long.
Hey, Memphis, this is Brian Reed, president of Best Care Plumbing, Heating, and Air. We know these are tough times right now. Your heating, air, and plumbing are essential systems for your home. To help, we have discounted our HVAC systems to as low as $99 a month and tankless water heaters as low as $79 a month. Best Care Plumbing, Heating, and Air. We're here to help. 901-624-1401.
You deserve the best. Best Care Home Services.
Hi, folks. Bob Berkheimer for Sunrise Buick GMC Truck. A lot has happened overnight and just wanted to let you know we're open at Sunrise for all your automotive needs. Service, body shop, parts, and sales. Go online to sunrisememphis.com to schedule an appointment. Should you need a vehicle, we're offering 0% up to 84 months with deferred payments up to 120 days. You can shop online. We'll bring the car or truck to you. At Sunrise, we know you want to feel safe, so bring your car or truck to any Sunrise location and we'll disinfect it at no charge. Sunrise, stress-free and safe. Covington Pike, Wolf Chase, and Collierville.
CVS Pharmacy delivers. And right now, to meet the needs of the current health situation, we're offering 1 to 2 day delivery for free. Get prescriptions and other everyday essentials like vitamins, allergy relief, snacks, and more from your local CVS. We understand your concern, and this is just one of the ways we can help you to be prepared and stay well. Visit CVS.com or call your local CVS pharmacy to get started. Restrictions apply. Offer valid on orders with a prescription.
America is a great big country.
Filled with all kinds of different people.
And we all count.
That's why the 2020 Census
wants to make sure we're all counted.
Why is it so important?
Because the census helps inform how hundreds of billions of dollars will be spent each year for things like
new roads,
health clinics,
even more school programs.
So make sure you're counted.
Because you count. Shape your future. Start here. Complete the census at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios. Invested in our communities. Making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Back in the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Gary Parrish. Gary Parrish, host of the Gary Parrish Show, 4 to 6 every single day. National College Basketball Conference, CBSSports.com. He is an Emmy-winning television personality, rising star in the field of meteorology, and he joins me now. GP, how are you?
I'm freezing.
Why? It is cold out. Why?
Because I'm a stay-at-home father now, and my little dudes are inside. And so to try to make sure they don't yell into the phone while I'm on the radio, I decided to go out to my car. I didn't realize it was cold, so I'm, like, sitting here in basketball shorts and a T-shirt.
Turn it on. Do you have keys? Turn on the car. It's got a heater. I'm sure one of those Mercedes got a heater on it.
I have done that, and I am waiting for it to warm up. It doesn't warm up instantly. So I'll be warm by the time we finish talking.
I want the lengths that people go to do. This is going to be a show later on. Oops. We just got rid of him. Whatever just happened is the question is, what are the lengths that people go to in order to get their work done in this time of pandemic? What are the lengths that people go to in order to get their work done? Jeffrey is reconnected here. All right. We are rejoined by Gary Parrish. GP, can you imagine? Like, I'm thinking I'm going to do a show on this. The lengths that people go to get their work done. Like, they hide in closets. They go outside. What have you had to do in order to get your work done? There was the one time that you had Lou pee on your chair. Like, getting work done in the house is a new thing for all Americans. GP is not here. There you are. Go ahead. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. No. You got me?
Yeah, okay. We got you. Go ahead.
So I try not to complain too much because I recognize my life is still better than most. But my life is more stressful than my life used to be. My life is not more stressful than somebody who just lost their job yesterday or whose business is about to go under. But my life is – but I don't know that life. I only know my life. And my life is more stressful today than it was, you know, a month ago because I'm still working every day. But I'm also, like, listen, I'm a father. I'm supposed to take care of my kids. I got it. But it's not easy when you have to work all day and also take care of your 6-year-old and your 3-year-old all day and make sure your 17-year-old is like, doing what he's supposed to be doing because he's going through, these final weeks of school online in a non-traditional way. And so my household has become more stressful over the past month than it was in the previous month. Probably because I'm home more. I'm probably contributing to it, if I'm being honest. But because Kelly's still trying to run a business and fulfilling online orders. So she's still at her store, and I'm trying to work, you know, the early hours and of each day and into the afternoon. I'm trying to work while also, you know, making sure my kids aren't blacking each other's eyes or flooding the backyard or doing any number of things. And so I'm just juggling all day. I mean,
people end up hiding from their children. That clearly happens. And then is there a lot more fighting in your household? Not among your two kids. There's always fighting in your household. How about you and Kelly? Do you guys fight more?
I mean, we're just frustrated more, you know, like yesterday, we were operating on a schedule up until last week, where she would get up and go to her store every morning, and she would get home about 3 o'clock, and then I would leave to go to radio. And there was one day last week where I think I talked to you about it. I just had a – it was
right.
I was
said,
juggling
I can't
too
do
many
this
things.
Anymore. Right.
I said, I can't do this. This is too much. You know, it's – I have to do my jobs, plural. And, like, I can't be as effective at them if I'm trying to juggle these things all day. So then we went from, okay, she's going to leave the house at 8 a.m., and then she'll be home by noon. And so, like, yesterday she got home at 12:41. And it was like, you know, it was probably 30 minutes later than what I expected. But it was like on day one of our new plan, you're 30 minutes later than you expected. And I've still got to, you know, finish this and finish that. And, you know, of course, her story is like, I got an online order at 11:45. So I had to fill that. And I'm like, yeah, but like you put me now 30 minutes behind. And I don't think these conversations are unique to us. You know, they are. People are. This is hard. You know, like this isn't good for anybody. It's why I understand the frustration of some people who were working a month ago and now can't work, and they don't have their normal paycheck coming in, like that guy who tweeted us last week. Like, I understand his frustration, but his implication that somehow you and I and people like us are haven't had our lives disrupted by this, so we're okay with this. Like, trust me, there's nothing I would rather have right now than my kids' schools open up. Like, there's nothing I'd rather have than my wife's store's doors open under normal circumstances. There's nothing I'd rather have right now than a flight to New York.
You miss your hotel.
I miss my hotel badly. And so this is hard for all of us. Again, my problems are less than most people's problems. I understand that, but My this is not easy. Yeah, and yeah. And for the first time last night, because the other plan that would the plan, not plan, but the sort of, I don't know, routine that we've adapted to is every night when I get home, like the boys, I joke about this, but it's they fight nonstop. And last night it was Louie. Just he put on like a Thanos fist, like from the Avengers. He's got these Thanos gloves that are like the I don't watch the Avengers. I mean, I've watched them all just in background with my kids, but I'm not into them. But like, he's got these big Thanos gloves. Everybody who's seen the movies will know what I'm talking about. And he put them on last night, and 3 different times within an hour of me getting home, he walked up behind Oliver and just sucker punched him in the back of the head with Thanos gloves. And to the point where Oliver's the 6-year-old and he's crying like, "Dad, Louie punched me in the head again." And Louie thinks it's the funniest thing in the world. So we separate them at some point. Like when they start to get tired is when they start to get
right.
They're not as lovable as they were earlier. So we separate.
None of us are GP. None of us are. Right.
So we separate them, and I go. I usually take Lou upstairs. I'm like, "Come on, Lou, let's go upstairs." And we settle down and we hang out and we talk and whatever. And last night, like, it wasn't for the first time, but it was like a pretty obvious time. He like missed his school. You know, he was like, I want to go to, I said, who do you miss exactly? I wanted to talk through it with him. And he told me the names of the exact people he misses. He's 3 years old. He hasn't seen anybody outside of his immediate family in a, you know, 3 weeks now. And he's, you know, told me the exact people he missed. And then he said, I want to go to school, but I can't because my school is closed. And he started crying. And I was like, just, it makes you almost want to cry. And then this morning, the sweetest thing, he wakes up. And we slept together last night, and he wakes up, and his eyes are open, but he's not really moving. And he said, "Dad, can we go to Waffle House like we used to?" And I said, "Buddy, I'd love to, but we can't. Waffle House is closed." And he said, "Waffle House is closed like everything is closed?" I said, "Yeah, Waffle House is closed like everything is closed." And he said, "'Cause people are sick?" And I said, "Yeah, 'cause people are sick." And he's just sad. Like, he's just tired of being here and not being able to go to school or Waffle House. And, you know, it's just the whole thing's crazy. This is not good for anybody.
No,
you know? We'll get through it.
I had a call yesterday from Alan who said, you know, the Luftwaffe aren't dropping bombs on us. And that's true. They're not. And that's good. It's also not Hiroshima. We're not in Hiroshima, right? That's also true. That's good. And, but I will say this. When the Luftwaffe was bombing the Waffle Houses, they were still open. Like, the pizza place was open, you know, like they were still, their places were still open. You could get a slice of pizza back then.
Yeah, so, I mean, you might not live through it, but you could get one.
But you could get a slice of pizza. Exactly right. So, all right. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I'm moving on. By the way, in terms of hardship, rough day for journalism yesterday over at the CA and at Gannett generally. They're telling everyone they got to take a week off, furlough week off, a 1 week a month. And that's like enormous number of newspapers. They have like, I don't know, 300 newspapers. So at a time when journalism is more critical than ever, they're telling everyone to take an unpaid week off. The Tampa paper went down to 2 days a week delivery yesterday. I don't know. I saw more people leaving SI. And that's because advertising is off, right? Of course, for everybody. And here's the other thing is that demand, like there's been this whole wave of layoffs, but there's going to be more because demand for everything is going down. People aren't getting money. And as people don't get money, they won't have money to spend. And so then demand for everything goes down. This is just awful. Awful for everybody. It's like you said, it's just awful, including journalism.
Right. I don't know anybody who is doing well right now or as well as they used to other than grocery stores, Amazon, and various other industries that could flourish under these circumstances. Like, I can tell you over the past 3 weeks, you know, initially, you know, Kelly, you know, when Kelly first closed her doors, the online sales were like, pop, pop, pop. People were, but they have slowed down a little bit because I think people are starting to realize, first off, we're not going anywhere. So, like, why do we need all these clothes? But secondly,
I might as well hang on to my money a little more, you know?
Yes. You know, like, yeah, do I really need to be spending money right now when I don't know what my job is going to look like a month from now? You know, like, you know, employees of the commercial pill, like you said, are going to be missing a paycheck at least every month. And that's like right now. That could change again in 2 weeks. You know, the guy who tweeted us last week, he was like, oh, Dan Wolkin getting paid not to work, which was never true because he was working nonstop.
Now he's going to be not paid not to work. Right.
Yeah, now he's going to be not paid not to work. Like, the idea that any of us are immune from this, myself included, is incredibly naive. And so you're exactly right. Like, wherever we're at right now, it's going to be worse a month from now, like, economically. You know, it does appear that there's some good signs coming out of flattening the curve and our social distancing. Like, it does appear to be working. I saw something this morning where there's a thermometer company that has about a million thermometers, you know, out into the country. And when you take your temperature, it goes into their database. It's always been that way. It's not something they're just doing now. Perhaps this is one of those things you just didn't know. But, like, when you take your temperature, that company has that data.
That's freaky.
And what it is showing right now, because it started – it's always kept track of it, but the results are now they're making it available to government agencies. But temperatures are going down. Like yesterday, temperatures went down around the country, except for in two places, the outer areas of New Orleans, which suggests that's now traveling out, you know, outward,
right.
and a big portion of New Mexico, which they said makes sense because the governor of New Mexico did not put in a stay in shelter order until Sunday. So, like, New Mexico is one of the last states to do what most states are doing. So the temperatures are still going up in New Mexico. But everywhere else, they seem to be going down or at least moving in the right direction. And so that's a good sign that this is working. But the harm to the economy and most of our lives is going to be – that's going to be there for a while, and none of us, it doesn't appear that most of us or many of us are immune from it.
All right, a few other things I want to get to. The Jordan documentary is going to drop early. I don't want to ask you about that. I want to ask about this. What are the best sports documentaries you have watched, and what are the best documentaries, period, you have watched, just off the top of your head? Like, we're all home now. We're going to be this isn't dropping until April 19th. We're all going to watch it because we've got nothing else to watch. There's 10 different episodes. It's going to be fun. People want to see Michael Jordan. He was awesome at his zenith. And I even think he was sort of more fun to watch than LeBron. That is my view. I think LeBron is every bit as good as Jordan, but I don't know, but anyway, I know you're a what do you call him? Lord and Savior LeBron. where are you on best sports documentaries and best documentaries? Period.
Well, I wasn't prepared for this. I know. Just what's popping into my head is popping into my head. From my teenage years, Hoop Dreams.
That was incredible.
Incredible. Like I haven't watched it in years. I think it would still hold up, but it was really, really good. I couldn't recommend that enough. The 30 for 30 OJ documentary was incredible. It was like 7 parts or 9 parts or whatever it is, but it's great. If you've never, for whatever reason, watched that, it's worth your time. If you live through it, it's amazing to watch. If you didn't live through it, it'll be educational to watch. It'll give you a pretty solid understanding of exactly what happened, why it happened, how that registered and resonated throughout our country. It's terrific.
What are yours, Jeffrey? Hold on. Jeffrey, what are your favorite?
This conversation begins and ends with me with Survive in Advance. It was the 30 for 30 on the 1983 NC State Wolfpack. It's my dad and I's favorite documentary. Like, if it's on even today, I'll still, like, watch it.
That was, like, the Beat Houston, Beat Five Slam and Jamal. Did you watch that one, GP?
I don't think I've watched that one, no.
It's great, Jeffrey? It's really great?
It's without a doubt my favorite one because it takes
Valvano?
It has Valvano. Also, Terry Gannon was on the team, and Terry Gannon is obviously part of broadcasting now, but he helped get everyone that was alive on that team back together, and they went to this great little, you know, cliche, you know, wooden barbecue joint in North Carolina that they'd all eat at, and it was just them sitting around the table talking and swapping stories. It's fantastic.
Did you have other – I interrupt you, GP. Do you have other ones?
From sports, those are the two that stand out. One, you know, the OJ relatively and recent, and Hoop Dreams. Yeah, those are both really, really good.
Okay. A couple other questions.
Non-sports ones.
Oh yeah,
I talked about this one yesterday in relation to how it played out, but The Jinx, which is about Robert Durst,
yep.
HBO did it a few years ago. It was one of those that I started watching it during. I remember during the NCAA tournament. I remember being in Houston maybe, and it was one of those deals where I had a late flight. Got there late, had an early morning press conference the next day. This was not the time for me to be staying up all night watching a documentary, but I could not stop watching it. I don't know how many parts it is, 4 or 5, whatever it is, but it was unbelievable.
Was he a murderer? Was he a murderer? Who was Robert Durst?
Yeah, he was a wealthy man who had been suspiciously linked to a lot of deaths. And by a lot, I mean, I believe it was 2 or 3, that you could reasonably reach the conclusion, this guy might have killed 3 people, but he was still a free man. He had beaten 1 charge, never been charged with the other. It was also a little bit of a commentary on our judicial system. Like, if you've got money, you got a chance. And this was a wealthy man, and he hired the best lawyers. And he, you know, so he had gotten away with these things, and this filmmaker got him to sit down and talk about it. He had never, he had always rejected opportunities to tell his story or to answer any questions. But for whatever reason, he was compelled to do it. And this incredible documentary comes from that. And it has a twist at the end that if you Google Robert Durst, it'll pop up immediately. But, like, it has real life ramifications. Like, the documentary leads to something else. It's tremendous. Like, if you that's the one for me in the past, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years. If you haven't seen that one, it's really, really excellent.
Okay, moving on. The NCAA said that all spring sports athletes could have their eligibility retained. Is that right? That, of course, does not apply to basketball. What kind of complications does that suggest? And in all of this, like, I don't know what's going to happen with football, but in the end, well, go ahead. Let's take that one first.
Well, first and foremost, it's expensive. And, like, you know, Penn State can afford it. Ohio State can afford it. LSU can afford it. But, you know, the lower levels of Division I, USA Today did a study last week that showed that if universities wanted to bring back their senior athletes for spring sports, if they were allowed to do it, the cost would be anywhere from $500,000 to $1 million. Well, you know, that's a lot of money for most universities. It's not a lot of money for an SEC school or an ACC school, but for most universities, it's a lot of money. So financially, this is difficult, which is why the Division I Council put in a provision that allowed schools to offer everything they offered before, or a percentage of it, or nothing. So it's a little misleading, the headline. Spring sport athletes have been given another year of eligibility if they want it, the seniors. But the schools are under no obligation to give them a penny in terms of tuition, you know, scholarship, cost of attendance stipend. So, you know, this doesn't mean that everybody's coming back. Some seniors aren't going to want to do it. They're just going to, you know, the thing about seniors is they're graduated, you know, for the most part. They might not want to come back. And the idea that you could come back, go to grad school, and your school will pay for it, well, they can pay for it. It doesn't mean they will or that they're obligated to do it. And so that's one complication. Another complication that seems pretty obvious is, and I've talked about this from a basketball perspective, I don't know much about lacrosse, right? But I'm assuming the same thing happens in lacrosse. If basketball players were allowed to do this, and they're not, so that's over. But, you know, it was at least a possibility up until yesterday. You know, Michigan State signed a point guard named A.J. Hager, who's a top 75 player in the country. And I never in my life have talked to Tom Izzo about A.J. Hager. But I'm confident that when Michigan State was recruiting this young man, part of the recruitment was telling him, Cassius Winston's our point guard right now, but he's a senior. He's going to be gone. You're going to enroll. We're going to have a top 20 team, and we're going to put the ball in your hands from day one. Well, if Cassius Winston were then suddenly allowed to come back to Michigan State and wanted to come back to Michigan State, A.J. Hager picked a school where he thought he'd be the starter, and suddenly, you know, he's playing 6 minutes a game behind an All-American, you know, first-team, you know, point guard in Cassius Winston. And so I tell that story only to say that's got to be true in lacrosse right. And every other spring sport to some degree. And so that's another complication. You're going to have everybody's thinking about the seniors being allowed to come back, and congrats to them if they want to do it. But what about the freshmen who picked the school based on the understanding they would be replacing that senior in whatever lineup it is the sport that they play makes available to them? So that's another thing that student athletes and coaches are going to have to work through. So this is. Listen, I think at its root, a good thing, but the idea that there aren't some unintended consequences, that's just not true.
Greg Sankey, commissioner of the SEC, was on with Golic Wingo today. He said they are planning for football starting Labor Day weekend. Thoughts?
You can plan for whatever you want to plan for. You know, like it's fine with me.
I'm planning to go to Waffle House, GP. So I'm planning
I'm
to
sorry?
Do, I'm planning
oh,
to go
yeah,
to
yeah,
Waffle
yeah.
House, right?
Right. You can plan whatever you want to plan, but I watch the best medical minds in our country every single day get up in front of the world. I had Dr. Mitchell Rosen from the Rutgers School of Public Health on yesterday. You can ask the question to any of them, and you can present it in whatever way you want. The answer is going to always be, at this point, we'll see. You know, that's the answer. Dr. Fauci, Dr. Rosen, Dr. Jane, it doesn't matter who you ask the question to. When are we going to be able to go to bars? When are we going to be able to go to restaurants? When are we going to be able to play football, basketball? There is no answer to that question right now. Like, I trust me, I Google it every day. There's no answer to the question. Not from a sensible person. Like, you know, your dumb cousin on Facebook, he might have an answer, but, like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. There is no medical official right now who can tell you when our country is going to get back to normal. So Greg Sankey is he's a conference commissioner. He's a very good one. He's not a doctor. He's not a medical professional. He's not a scientist. So he should be planning to play football Labor Day weekend. But the idea that he knows that's a likely scenario, he's just guessing right now. You should plan, because if you're allowed to do it, you need to be prepared to do it. But the idea that means anything, it doesn't mean anything.
What are basketball coaches? I know you're in touch with them. What are they saying about their season next year? I mean, that's not a given either.
they're concerned. I mean, obviously I talk to basketball coaches more than football coaches. Football coaches are worried about when they're going to play, like if they're going to play. Basketball coaches assume that they're going to have a season in some form, but they're like, I talked to a coach last night. He's got 4 scholarships to fill. He's like, how am I going to fill these? When am I going to be able to see a player? He's like, I had a player call me last week who lives about 4 hours from me. And the player was like, the player's mom was like, can we come see you? And he's like, I'm not allowed. Like, we can't do it. Like, I can't. I can talk to you on phone. I can talk to you on Skype. I can FaceTime you. But you can't come here, and I can't come to you. And he said, so eventually I'm going to probably offer this player a scholarship. He said, I've never seen this player in person. I've never met this player in person. I don't know anything about him other than what his high school coach tells me, his AAU coach tells me, you know, a couple other people told me. He said, but I've never signed a player in my life that I've never actually met. And that's probably what I'm going to have to do because I have no idea when I'm going to be able to meet players. And I've got 4 scholarships to fill. So they're worried about – basketball coaches are worried more about not so much if we're going to play. They assume they will. But they're like, how am I going to fill out my roster? You know, am I making mistakes in recruiting because I'm not going through a normal evaluation process? Again, these problems are all small problems relative to the big problems going on in the country, but they're not nothing. They're things that people are struggling with right now.
GP, thank you very much. I'll talk to you again at 5:00.
Bye bye.
That is Gary Parrish from the Gary Parrish Show. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back, Jeffrey. You're going to tell me when we come back who your your Mount Rushmore.
Yep.
People want, they're clamoring for sports, man. Your Mount Rushmore of the most difficult Grizzlies to watch over the breadth of their history. We will do that next. Oh, and then Chris Harrington after that. Then Jessica Benson after that. It's Jeff Calkinshaw, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hi, my name is Max. I'm a dad, and I make podcasts. It's my job. But right now, things are pretty weird. Many of us are working from home, and schools around the world are closed. And that means we all need something to do while we're sitting inside. So we're asking kids everywhere the same question. If you could make a podcast about anything you wanted, what would you make? And we're turning the submissions into a brand new show. It's called The Kids Are All Home.
I like to call this Pantry Investigations.
Welcome to History Twins.
I'm Wilder. This is my sister, Rosie.
Say hi, Rosie.
Hi, Rosie.
So pause that movie you're watching for the 5th time in a row, put down that 3rd snack you just snuck out of the pantry, and subscribe to The Kids Are All Home on radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Eric Hasselton from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
An impossible deal just became possible. At Burger King, now you can get 2 Impossible Whopper sandwiches for only $6 as part of the 2 for $6 deal. Mix and match between the Impossible Whopper, the Classic Whopper, the Crispy Chicken, or the Spicy Crispy Chicken Sandwich, and get 2 for only $6. The Impossible Whopper with a flame grill patty made from plants, now part of the 2 for $6 deal. Burger King, your way, way better. Limited time only at participating restaurants. Single sandwich at regular price on menu.
A heart in my Tasty Honey Nut Cheerios? Cereal, you trying to tell me you love me?
Actually, it's reminding you that it can help lower cholesterol as part of a heart-healthy diet.
Wait! Ah! They can help lower cholesterol? I've been so focused on the sweet taste that I completely forgot. Now I'm in love.
Learn more about making Honey Nut Cheerios part of your heart-healthy lifestyle by picking up a box at your local grocery store.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Got an oil change on your list and a little extra cash in your pocket? We have the deals to help you out. Like 5 quarts of STP conventional motor oil, an STP oil filter, and an STP air filter for just $26.99. And you don't even have to leave the house to get it. Just order online by 10 p.m. on AutoZone.com and choose next day delivery. Getting your job done just got easier. Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Can't tell you how impressed I've been by the way Howie has handled things over there, and of course closed now in terms of walking in, but you can shop online at rijewelers.com. You can shop on Facebook. You can join their Facebook auctions, check in, see where the next auction is, and bid on items. In the end, we are going to emerge from this. You're going to want to get the person that you have been looking at for 24 hours a day a beautiful piece of jewelry. So what I would recommend is the gift cards, honestly. $100 gift card for $70. $1,000 gift card for $700. Hey, you're supporting a great Memphis business, but it's something you're going to get anyway. There's anniversaries to come. There's birthdays to come. There's Valentine's Days to come. There's Christmases to come. All kinds of things to come. You might as well save now. Save big now. Or pop on over to rijewelers.com. You can chat with people. You can call them. All kinds of ways to still get beautiful jewelry from Howie and the group. All right, Jeffrey. We're going to get to Chris Harrington in just a little bit. Before we do that, we had a caller last week when we were taking calls from the front who said, I just can't stand this. We need some sports. So every once in a while, we're just going to drop in a good old-fashioned sports discussion. And today's discussion, he wants Mount Rushmores because that's the most, like, cliche sports discussion you can possibly have. So our Mount Rushmore, first time Marshall, was the Grizzlies' all-time Mount Rushmore. And that one's very difficult because Mike, Mark, and Zebo clearly belong on it. And then the fourth is up for grabs, depending on who you think. Could be Pau Gasol, a Hall of Famer. Could be Tony Allen, if you're leading with your heart. You think Mike Miller could be in contention? Is that right?
No, that was on most exciting.
That was most fun to watch.
That was
most, it could only be those two, right? Is there anyone else that could be for the greatest?
I think there's only five.
Yeah. So
there are only five.
There are only five. But now, the four most painful Grizzlies to watch, we'll have you give yours first. Number one.
Number one.
Robert Archibald. People forget he was drafted
Carlos Boozer.
Carlos Boozer. Right. He was everyone knew it was a terrible pick. It was just like the ultimate
Robert Archibald?
Yeah. He was terrible to watch. God, he sucked. He was awful.
I honestly can't remember him. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what Robert Archibald looked like. Do you remember what he looked like playing?
Originally, he was a British. I think he played at Missouri. Yes.
No, but I can't remember his game at all.
It's because he didn't have one.
A tall white guy.
Yeah, he did not have a game.
Okay.
That was the problem.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Number two. Got to go with Ben McLemore. Another classic Chris Wallace signing that it's like, did he play at Kansas? Check. Was he absolutely worthless? Check. Did we give him too much money? Check. Just fit all of it.
He was difficult to watch.
Terrible. He could do nothing.
I think he would be in contention for a lot of
people. And then remember having to like go into the locker room afterwards and just like watch how he would just, he had like basically the entire ice chest around his knees. It's like, oh yeah, that was what they were doing with signing.
What's interesting is you're not focusing on the game particularly. You're focusing on how enraged you were with the transaction that brought him here.
Correct. And then watching him on the floor and realizing, like,
that's where it's, both of these are rooted in that.
Yes.
It's the signing.
Yes.
It's not, I couldn't stand, like.
Correct.
Okay. So, all right. So, three?
Number three.
Some might say this should have been number one.
Well, we're not in order here.
It's the same idea. It's the same concept. It was the fact that he was given so much money. In the end, I ended up feeling sorry for him, but it's got to be Chandler Parsons. Chandler Parsons has to be on this for the exact
He has to be. He's a first ballot Mount Rushmore most painful to watch. A, he was, in fact, painful to watch.
Yes.
It was painful.
I remember.
B, he wouldn't shoot. He wouldn't drive. He couldn't do anything except pass the ball. He just move it. And then the other thing is the minutes were inflicted on you.
Yes. Yes.
You were forced to watch. Listen, the obtaining him was okay. Like, it was awful that they got him. But then they forced minutes on him, too.
Correct.
I think he's in high contention for number one.
There's a lot of good quality candidates for this last one. You know, you could look at a guy like Xavier Henry. You could look at a guy like Andrew Harrison.
Harrison was, he was rough, man.
I think you could look at a guy like Troy Bell. Another guy that qualifies for me, Jordan Adams.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.